Having done a week, David, of interviews, and I'm sure that, I mean, like me, when you get interviewed, you get so many different styles of interviewer, but you've got to go in sort of with your eyes open and go, well, where's this going?
Yep. Well, with you, I kind of know where it's going. You and I have known each other long enough and have done enough over the years to where I feel very comfortable with you. But you're right. I have, this week arguably has been, I was in New York the week before for 3 days, 4 days, doing the same thing with radio and getting up at the crack of dawn and doing early television, morning TV and morning radio. I don't understand why, but it's either early or late, you know, and when you're doing this now as opposed to in the early days in the 70s, I could come to the UK and do Top of the Pops, Radio 1, Radio 2, and that was it. And there, you'd had the whole country. Now, with what has happened, there is so much media, and there are so many different opportunities for people to listen to so many different stations. With MTV and VH1 and on and on and on and on and on and on and on, we, in order to, when you take a project and you decide to make a recording and make a record, what it takes to promote it now is so much, it takes so much more time and energy and work that you find yourself after one after the other, after the other, after the other, sounding the same, saying, telling the same story, telling it. I try and make up different ways of telling stories, but the truth is the truth, and the story is the story. And the new album is recorded live at Capitol, where Sinatra cut all of his hits, and Bobby Darin, and Nat King Cole, and
that's the Capitol Tower, is it?
Yeah, it is. Capitol Records and recording studios.
I noticed on here you've done a song that I always thought should have been a much bigger hit here. It was covered in this country by Gary Walker and Rain, amongst others, but originally in the States, the classic's Four.
Spooky.
And Spooky was never really a big hit here. It was much bigger in the States than here, and
huge.
Always deserved more of an airing here.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. It's funny, because I... in being here this whole week, people went, Spooky, have I ever heard that before? And I thought, well, Classics 4, again, my growing up and learning to, as a guitar player and as a musician, the influences that were very heavy upon me on the radio, Dennis Yost and the Classics 4 version of this record was a huge hit in America, and had, I think, in a way, all of the songs on this new CD, other than, you know, New York City Life, other than the compositions that I write, I use songs that for me have had some real special meaning to me, and that's certainly no exception. And the track is it's just a great funky live track, and I love the song, and I really like my take on it. It's not nearly quite like the Classics 4 version, and if you can't make it your own, why record it? If you don't feel like it belongs to you, then just don't do it.
I know you said you were a really big Young Rascals fan. This could almost have been a Rascals track.
Same era, and again, it could have been, you're right. They had a couple of hits in America, two or three hits in America, but Spooky was by far the biggest. Sadly, like many of the artists from that period of time, we hear very little from them. There were some great British and American bands like the Rascals, Classics 4, and in the UK, certain acts like the Zombies. I always loved their records, Colin Blundstone and Rod Argent, and, you know, great, great acts. And a lot of their songs, I think, were so good they could be recut and be re-recorded and made, at least from my standpoint, made my own.
Okay, we'll take a listen to Spooky, David Cassidy, from the new album, A Touch of Blue, and we'll come back and chat some more later.
I'm
Cassidy's new version of Classic Four's spooky small 60s hit here, bigger in the States. And that's a good version from his new album, A Touch of Blue. Not only that album, but when you buy it, you get the bonus album with all the Biggie songs. Could It Be Forever, Cherish, How Can I Be Sure, Daydream, etc., etc. We'll chat more with David later here on Magic. A track on here, New York City Life, is, I'm not saying because you're here, but it's actually, you wrote in, it's a very good song. And listening to it, I thought, you know, if Rodgers and Hart had written that, if Jerome Kern had written it, it would be a standard. People would say, hey, do you remember New York City Life from 1938? Wasn't that great? But when songs like this are written now, they're not accorded the same, you know, the same situation that you would have done then. They're not accorded that sort of great pat on the head of, isn't this a wonderful song?
Well, thanks. My wife, who's a great songwriter, Sue Schifrin, has said to me, when I finished the song, she said, I think that's the best song you've ever written. And I said, well, I love the song because of what it means to me. It's a very personal song, and all the songs on the album have a very similar theme, lyrical as well as musical theme. I'm a very musical guy, and I have been influenced greatly by those writers, and to be even thought about. I love the song. Mike Melvoin, who co-produced the album with me and arranged New York City Life, said, I got to tell you something. And he's a great, legendary jazz pianist and has played on over 1,500 hit records. And almost all of mine, we've worked together. He's played keyboards on from the early 70s, from 71 on, I think. He said to me, I think this has the potential of being a standard. And I said, well, I don't know how you get there, but I only know that I love it. And for me, that's what it's about. It speaks of very much of me and who I am and what my music and my musicality is about. And I take that as a great compliment. And it's one of my favorite songs off the new CD.
I think it is a song that could be a standard. Mind you, years ago, would have thought if somebody said it's a standard, that would be anathema to you. Because, what do you mean it's not a great pop song?
No.
It's a standard? That's old-fashioned. That's yesterday. But now, I think, as you get older and one mellows, it is a great accolade. And I think it is a standard because it's not only a great delivery and a great tune, but it's interesting lyrically as well.
Well, it has a certain amount of cynicism to it, sarcasm to it, at least. I think it's really, for me, it was written about a relationship of many years ago. I write from my own personal experience and about a relationship that just wasn't going to work, and how we find every other reason why it shouldn't work or why it couldn't work, and my take on L.A. And I have lived many years in L.A., but I was born in New York, and I am a New York City boy, so I think it speaks a lot of that. But I love the song.
I said earlier there's a bonus album in here, and that was the second track on the bonus album, so David apologized profusely for that. This is the track we're talking about. There is a bonus album, which confuses idiots like me, you see, because the bonus album, Cherish, is the second track, and on the main album, this is the second track, which is the track we're talking about, New York City Life.
So many people.
a good song, New York City Life, from David Cassidy's new album, Touch of Blue. It nearly wasn't, but again, yeah, I've got to prove I'm human sometimes. David Cassidy, UK tour 2004, all too often, sadly. April the 24th kicks off in Glasgow, and then Blackpool, Nottingham, Sheffield, Manchester, Birmingham, Bournemouth, Brighton, London, and Cardiff. So a very condensed but a big venue tour for David Cassidy, starting on April the 24th, and the new album out, A Touch of Blue, with, as you now know, a bonus album that includes songs like Cherish, for example. And we'll hear some of those over the coming weeks, as we're also doing some stories behind the songs with David. This is Mike Reed on Magic through till 2. 2 of his classics. Cassidy still with us this morning on, I guess this must be probably the final interview of your week.
It is. This is my very, very last one this morning.
And then you go away, you come back in April for a tour, end of April, and do Glasgow, Blackpool, Nottingham, Sheffield, Manchester, Birmingham, Bournemouth, Brighton, London, Cardiff. So no excuse for people not going, really.
Well, I think I would hope that we'd have the same response as we had a couple of years ago when I came over here and toured. And I hadn't been here since 85 when Last Kiss was out, and it was an amazing thing to have been away for so long and to come back and have people be so, they love the music, as do I. And because I've done so much other work in the theater and Las Vegas and television and writing and producing and everything else, for me to play live now is, I strap my guitar on and I feel like I'm 19, and I love it more now than I ever have. I don't know that I'm going to be able to come and tour, do a proper tour again. I think this is probably going to be my last tour.
But I heard you say on the television a couple of nights ago that your son is now 12 and he wants to spend naturally more time with you.
Yeah.
But in 2, 3, 4 years' time, you probably want to talk because he'll want to come with you. He won't be, Dad, don't go away. It's, Dad, why are you going away and not taking me? Yeah. And can I be in the band?
Yeah, well, he might be doing the tour, but fortunately it won't be until he's out of college. I'm very much, you know, I'm torn by it because I love to work and I love to play, and I'm sure I'll come back and do the odd show here and there. It's just, it gets much more difficult because of the amount of time it takes, A, to promote it, and B, to be away from him. He needs to have his dad around, and I play so much in America, and I'm away so much as it is, that to go, I went to Australia for the first time, and we were gone a month. Eventually, I had to, I had to take him out of school, and he came over for the last week. But I miss him, and he misses me, and it's just a matter of, you know, the state of my life right now, which is a great one. It's just, I just don't want to be a guy who says, no, I'll never tour again and come back. It's not one of those. I will come back and play, I'm sure.
And he'll get to an age where he wants you to as well. What's his favorite track on your new album?
Yeah, my son's favorite track is New York City Life.
See, he knows where his bread's buttered. You know, that's his future insurance, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Also on here, a great track, a big hit here for the Four Tops, but for me, 100% far and away, the best version was the original by the Left Banke.
No question about it. All of the songs that I have loved and wanted to record, this was one of the ones that, for me, every time it comes on the radio still and I hear it, you know, you just can't. It's got such a mood to it. It's so haunting. The melody's so haunting. But their version, they had one hit in America. No, two hits. The little, Tiny Ballerina.
Pretty Ballerina.
Thank you. Yeah. You're the aficionado. any song anybody has ever recorded, you know who they did it, where it went to. And
isn't that sad?
No, it's great. It's wonderful because, as we get a little older, we tend to forget things. I use the royal we. I loved their version of it and always wanted to record the song and had an opportunity to cut songs that really had some meaning to me. And the lyric on in the, a couple of people have said to me in the past week, you know, I never had heard the lyric before and knew exactly what was said in the whole song. And we could hear your version. I could really understand the lyric. Their version, for me, will be forever the classic. And I just happen to love singing those kinds of romantic, beautiful melodies and beautiful lyrics that are haunting.
You won't see me.
Oasis version of the Left Banks Walk Away, Renee. Also hit, of course, for the Four Tops. And a guy I've interviewed many times, who I do think is an extraordinary songwriter, and in some ways underrated, although his bank manager for it isn't think so, and that's Neil Sedaka.
Indeed.
He really is a very, very gifted songwriter.
Always
and again,
has been.
In another era, would have been equally big. Breaking Up is hard to do. He also did a slow version of it, but this is a good version.
Well, thank you. I'll tell you a little, an interesting story. I played Wembley in 1973, and I'd had a hit when it was released as The Partridge Family, David Cassidy and The Partridge Family. It was a cover version of his Down Doobie Doob Down Down thing. And I couldn't do it that way live. I didn't just feel it was mine. So I played live. I took the song and arranged it slowly, kind of soulfully. Halfway through the song, I went into boom, boom, boom. Don't take your love. So Neil Sedaka lived in London at the time. He came and saw my show, heard me do it slowly, and took the basic feel of the arrangement, went back in and re-recorded it, and had a huge hit all over the world. And it's taken me 30 years to finally do my version and my arrangement of Breaking Up is Hard to Do.
Has he heard it?
No, I don't think he has heard it. It's just out this week. I haven't heard from him, but I'd love him to hear it. And apparently he doesn't tell the story. Maybe it's because, you know, in his mind he... and it was indeed his arrangement of his hit. But I think he was inspired by me doing it that way. I have to think. So, you know, I mean, it's his song. It was certainly a big hit for me back in the Partridge Family days, and I much prefer this version of it, I must confess.
Okay, then we'll take a listen to it. Thanks very much. Final interview of your tour, and you're back in April. I won't be coming to Glasgow, but...
April 24th, I'm in Glasgow. But we'll come to Hammersmith.
We'll see the Hammersmith or Bournemouth, one of
you
those.
Tell me that you're leaving. I can't believe it's true. Girl, there's just no living without you.
breaking up is hard to do. Or should I say the version that he did on stage many years ago, and then Neil Sedaka did, and David did again. My thanks to David for dropping in, having a chat, and winging his way back to Fort Lauderdale, and is touring here April the 24th, Glasgow, then Blackpool, Nottingham, Sheffield, Manchester, Birmingham, Bournemouth, Brighton, London, and Cardiff, and maybe his last tour of that type for some while. This is Mike Reid on Gone 20.